This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're all well. Welcome along to the weekly golf podcast here with William Hill. It's Dave Kellner and Mike Grenham in the studio to talk golf here. And we've got a couple of events this week with the China Open on the European Tour and the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, the PGA Tour event. But first, as ever, we'll reflect on what happened last week, Mike, and Matt Kuchar pulling on that tartan, awful, abysmal tartan jacket last week, winner of the Heritage at Harbour Town. And it was a fantastic final round from the Cooch.
Yeah, until the 17th tee, Pat Green, should I say, where he three-putted from no distance and would have give some fuel to the people who think he's not the most resolute of finishers. But that said, he's won again and he's becoming a prolific winner now on tour. And has been in a sparkling run of form. I picked him last week at the Masters, and he got a place for us, or a share of a place. So he was definitely pickable this week, but you just thought maybe a little bit of mental letdown. But far from it, Kuchar came very good on Sunday. And if you shoot 64 on a Sunday to win, you've done pretty well.
Kuchar's made more money in the last 4 weeks on tour than Arnold Palmer made in his career. I know you've got to take inflation into account, obviously, but he's one of, if not the most consistent players on the PGA Tour. And you said on last week's podcast you expect him to win a major championship. That's probably affirmed your opinion, Mike.
Yes, no, I do think that, David. I do. I think that he's good enough. I'm not saying there's no way he won't win one, but if he continues in this form, I expect him to win a major. Yes, he's a great ball striker these days. His putting is, other than that 71st hole,
yeah,
is normally...
That was unbelievable, three putting from 4 feet.
What? That's most unlike him. I just think he's getting better as well. He had a very good year last year, won at TPC last year,
yep,
which is obviously the fifth major, which is coming imminent this year. So he's won a big one. He only needs to go another jump forward, and he's won the match play as well, hasn't he?
He has.
So... He's a player that his standing in the game is raising all the time, and I just like him as a guy as well. He's a gentleman, isn't he?
He is. He never stops smiling, does he? And you can't. He's the sort of guy you can never imagine swearing. He's that sort of guy, isn't he? He really is. And as you mentioned, he has got that win in the WGC, and he's got 7 PGA Tour wins to his name. Obviously,
I think it was
a perfect winning on tour.
It was the 2012 TPC, I think, actually, Dave. If I'm right, it wasn't last year, was it? But he'll certainly go there with a big chance again this year at Sawgrass, won't he? So, yeah, do you think he can win a major? You're not sure, are you?
No, I'm not sure.
No, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Good week for the English players, though. Luke Donald finishing second at Harbour Town behind Matt Kuchar. Played some really solid golf all week. He's been working on his swing, and that work seems to have had a positive effect on his game, without a doubt. Still put strongly, of course, Luke Donald. And Lee Westwood, leading from pillar to post in Malaysia. He's got a terrific record in the Far East, Lee Westwood, and he won with ease last week, didn't he, Mike? Never really troubled.
Yeah, he does ever so well over there, and I'm glad to see Lee win, because I think it's good for golf that he's there or thereabouts, and nice to see him back with Billy Foster. We thought this could be a good year for him. I know he's got to get that major and monkey off his back, but nevertheless, he still makes a very good living winning events, and he cruised home here, didn't he? In a good field.
Yeah, who's more likely to win a major, Matt Kuchar or Lee Westwood?
Matt Kuchar.
Let's have a look at China. The Volvo China Open is the first of our two events this week. It's the 20th edition of the China Open, and once again, the venue has changed for this year's championship, which is, it's damn annoying, really, because we've got no real consistency, no course form to go on. And Genzon Golf Club is this week's host venue. And the course is designed by a Canadian called Neil Haworth, who also designed Sheshan Golf Club, which is the host venue for the HSBC Champions. So people looking for a reference might use that as a starting point. They do look like different venues, albeit of similar length. This golf course might not yield as low scores as Sheshan has done in the past. Ian Poulter finished second at the HSBC Champions last year. He won at Mission Hills a couple of years ago, and he's towards the head of the betting here. But it's Henrik Stenson that heads the market. 7-1, Henrik Stenson. Ian Poulter is 9-1. Jason Duffner is 12s. And Nicholas Coulthard, who played well last week, 20-1. Francesco Molinari, 22-1. Danny Willett and Pablo Larrazabal are both 25s. And it's 33s bar. It is tough, Mike, to find out a great deal about this venue. They seem rather proud of the fact that it's the first golf course in Asia to use what they call authorised platinum green turf, which is basically a genetically modified paspalum. But they see everywhere I look, they comment on this as a big thing in terms of future golf courses will use this particular.
You've gone to
type
a level
of
detail there, Dave, that I am not accustomed to. But I'm sure you're telling the truth.
I am telling the truth. But as far as the venue is concerned, we know relatively little. Mike.
I'm not having a bet in this event, Dave. Not at the start of the tournament, anyway. I just need to see what kind of course it is, who's suited by it. There's some very good players in it. It's a great field. So it's a really good event. But I just don't have an angle in some, but I can't be having a bet myself yet, so I can't be tipping anyone.
Did you see the incident last week, by the way, with Pablo Larrazabal?
I did.
In Malaysia. That was incredible, wasn't it? Attacked by a swarm of hornets. Of course, you picked him last week.
I picked him, yeah. He was only a shot
or
two out of
the
place.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? He finished tied sixth in the end.
It's because of those hornets, I'm blaming him.
he made birdie on that hole, didn't he?
He did, actually. Amazingly. Yeah, that was an event, wasn't it? That was a carry-on. Yeah, a little bit frustrating that he missed out on a place, actually. But that was a weird event, wasn't it? Jumped into the lake
You're not meant to do that either, are you? I've heard. Because apparently if you jump into the lake, they'll keep on attacking you. And then when you come out, they'll sting you to death, basically. So that's not...
What are you meant to
do? That's not
then?
Advisable, apparently. I've no idea.
Oh, come on.
I don't think you meant to go crazy like he did, though. I think you meant to remain calm. And he was wafting that towel all over the place, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But in all fairness, I'd have done exactly the same thing. I'd have been in that lake quickly.
Yeah. I'd have needed some armbands, you know, to jump in for.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not that bad a swimmer, but there you go. He could have been players, couldn't he?
He could have been. He's 25-1 this week, so no bet for
playing
you.
Very well. He's playing,
he is playing very well.
Yeah, and that was a good performance by him last week. There was some interesting course outs. Play was good again, wasn't it? And Quiros is certainly someone I've got my eye on. But you've got a bet in this one, haven't you?
I have. I've just got one bet. Andy Sullivan is my pick here.
Really? After his final round collapse?
But I think that gives a little bit of extra value this week at 66-1 because I'm always willing. I've got to think about what happened in the first 54 holes of the tournament. He was the one putting pressure on Lee Westwood last week. I think he's the best bet in the field at 66ers. It was a poor back nine, admittedly. Saw him fall down the leaderboard. Still an encouraging 13th place finish. And that came on the back of a second place finish in the Trophy Hassan in mid-March. He also finished tied fifth in Joburg in February. So this is a guy clearly in pretty good form, Mike. And I think it's encouraging that even though he's had very few starts in the Far East, they've yielded pretty positive results. That 13th last week that we just referenced, 14th in last season's China Open when he was badly out of form as well. And even though he's still a maiden, I thought 66-1 in this field, which is very top heavy. You take the first three names out of the lineup and you think there's a chance for someone lower down the list here. And I thought 66-1 was more than fair, Mike.
No, fair call, Dave. You're right. He did play well in this event, albeit a different course last year, as did Larrazabal. It's going to be interesting. I'm not saying I won't have a bet in it in running. I'm going to have a look at this event very closely on the first day, watch the highlights, because it'll be on overnight, won't it?
Yeah, I think the first tee times will be around about midnight 30, so 12:30.
I definitely don't rule out having a bet during the tournament. I just couldn't see an angle in for myself in this one, so good luck with Andy Sullivan.
Yeah, and as far as the head of the betting concerned, Henrik Stenson ahead of Ian Poulter in the market. Do you think that's probably...
Yes, I think
fair?
I do, yeah. Although Poulter is another man, a bit like Westwood, who thrives...
Yes, definitely.
..in the Far East. And I expect those two players to play very well, both in good form.
Mark Adsed, our compiler, by the way, he says one player popped out here, Garth Mulroy. Okay efforts in the last few weeks on the web.com tour and may go well in what is a very average event if you take the top three out. He's also made the effort to play in China against, as opposed to playing in the web.com event this week. And of the runners bunched up behind the top three, it was nice to see the players you mentioned last week, Kyrgios and Kolsarts, go well. He's proving he listens to the podcast there.
Yeah,
the European Tour needs these players going well and, more importantly, playing on the European Tour, which is something we've mentioned on numerous podcasts. Kolsarts, interesting, 20-1 this week. As mentioned on the podcast, he was 50-1 last week. He's a man that's never going to be away from the limelight for very long, and it was a good performance, but does he deserve to be 20-1 as opposed to 50-1 last week? That would be my question.
I hear
maybe
what you're saying, but he did finish third, was it, in the end, or second?
Tied second.
So that obviously changes things.
Let's have a look at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans then, because this is the feature event this week, isn't it, Mike?
Well, the China Open's got, as you say, three or four very good players at the top of the market, but this isn't, to be fair, Dave, this isn't the best US Tour event of the year, is it? It's probably the weakest field so far, would you say?
Yeah, I've got that written down here. It's definitely the weakest field we've had on the PGA Tour in the last few months.
Yes.
Without a doubt. An intriguing event nonetheless, because it's...
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Because it's played at TPC Louisiana for the ninth time, and it's a Pete Dye designed golf course. And the course has undergone modifications relatively recently. It was extended after the 2011 edition in terms of length, and it now measures 7,425 yards. I think the key statistic, in my mind anyway, Mike, to playing well on this golf course is hitting greens in regulation. You look at the last five winners here. Billy Horschel, he got away with missing the fairways last season, was tied 63rd in fairways hit, but ranked second in greens in regulation. Jason Duffner in 2012, the winner here, tied 25th in GIR. 2011, Bubba tied first. 2010, Jason Bone tied sixth. 2009, Jerry Kelly, when he won here, number one in greens in regulation. So the last five winners all ranked high up on in that particular area, Mike.
Yeah, greens in regulation is very important here, Dave. The other stat that I'd be interested in is proximity to the hole.
Yeah, I love that one.
I think that matters here as well, but they're the two key stats for me.
Justin Rose is the 12-1 favourite in the field. Ricky Fowler, 14-1. Keegan Bradley, 18-1. Graham DeLatte, 22s. Matt Every and Ryan Palmer, both 25s. Charlie Hoffman, Chris Stroud, Freddie Jakobsen, Patrick Reed and Russell Knox, all 33s, and it's bigger the remainder. I've gone with three here,
yeah,
Mike.
I have two, although one of them I've had to lower my stakes because his price is not as good as I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
So, but three, yes. Just want to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Right, well, I am going to go for Nick Watney as my first pick, a past winner of this event, 2007 he won it. Not been in fantastic form this year, but was 44th in the Masters on his last outing, but does like this track and has also got a couple of other top 20s to his name here in Louisiana. His proximity to the hole stats this year are very good, Dave. He's 12th for that on tour. Ball striking's decent, hitting the greens in regulation. He's a very good ball striker and a greens man, you know, much better last year than this even, but certainly very respectable on those stats this year. The one thing he's got to do better this week is he's got to putt better. His putting's been very poor in 2014. But I'm going to give him a chance.
He's
on
streaky, isn't he? Historically, he's streaky with the putter.
He is, but once he gets going, he's decent with it. So that's the caveat. If he puts as he has been, he won't really feature in this. But if he can putt like he can do, if that makes sense.
Yep.
He would look very big in this field at 50-1.
Okay.
He is a quality Ryder Cup type player, and there aren't a whole bunch of them in this field.
What's the staking plan then with Nick Watney?
I'll have a point each way.
Yeah. I'm a very, very similar, not similar profile to Watney, but again, another guy that must put better for me as my headline pick. Kevin Stadler is in here at 40-1, so 10 points shorter than Nick Watney, but I think he's a good fit for this venue, and given his win in Phoenix, I think he's definitely worth a shot at 40s. Taking advantage of Bubba Watson's slip that week,
yep.
I should have given him confidence, and even though there was an inevitable letdown following that win, he's been very good the last 2 weeks, finished tied 8th on his Masters debut, which we've talked about in previous podcasts, and finished a respectable tied 38th at Harbortown last week. He was tied 15th in greens in regulation last week, and he's 20th in that department this season. He's got a lot of experience at this venue. Best performance came here last year when he finished 8th. He ranked tied 8th in greens in regulation, 2nd in proximity to the hole at this event last season. That's historically, as you've mentioned, been another key performance indicator at this venue. So I like Kevin Stadler's fit here this week. I think 40-1 is a good price. Pretty keen. I'll go 1.5 points each way on Kevin Stadler.
1.5 points each way? Oh, yeah.
But again, needs to put better. Yes. If he puts well, I see him definitely being in the shake-up. But yeah, that is his Achilles heel, without a doubt.
Well, that's for all three of mine. All three of my guys could do with putting a little bit better than they have been. But he's a player that I wouldn't have been backing with counterfeit money last year.
Yeah.
But he's really, that win and the confidence that he's got to his name now.
That tied 8th at the Masters is going to be big for him as well, isn't it?
He's certainly elevated himself in the game, as they say, and I can see that, Dave. He was actually on my list. I just couldn't bring myself to back him at that price, but good luck with that one. Russell Knox is my second pick.
Okay.
A little bit shorter in the betting than I'd have liked. Both of my last two are, actually. But again, he's a player that I really like the way he shapes up for this course. Top 13 greens in regulation. Number one on tour for proximity to the hole this year. 30th of ball striking. I'm looking for him to build on his second at Honda. It was a few weeks ago where he got beaten in a playoff. And then he was ninth in the Heritage at the weekend. So I just think Russell Knox is absolutely suited to this course. Only played here the once, 30th the year before last, so I'm looking for him to do a little bit better than that. I'd probably have liked a little bit of a bigger price than 33s.
Yeah, 33s.
Yeah.
That's the only question with him, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose you could argue that is a little bit on the short side as a non-winner on tour, but I just think I expect him to be there or thereabouts, so I couldn't leave him out.
I'm also not sure second pick. I'm going with Will McKenzie as my second selection. This guy got virtually no course form, which I think a lot of people will see as a negative with Will McKenzie this week, but he's in the betting at 50-1. He's clearly learned a lot about himself and his game with a year on the web.com tour, and he's come out firing this year. I just don't think he should be 50-1 in this field. I understand why he is, because he missed the cut badly at last week's Heritage and has next to no course form at this venue. He did tie for 28th back in 2007. But again, we've mentioned this. He's a guy that's elevated his game this season, without a doubt. Mm. He's got 9 top 15 finishes in 14 starts on tour this season, which is sensational,
going,
really.
Yeah.
And he's threatened to win in 3 of his last 5 starts at the Honda, the Valspar, and at the Texas Open as well. He'd had quite a while off the golf course before last week's performance at the Heritage. I'm hoping that's blown the rust away, because he didn't play well at all. But he ranks 37th in greens in regulation this season, 12th in strokes gained putting, and 4th in the all-around. Will McKenzie, in an event that's been good to maidens over the years, I thought he was worth a play at 50-1.
Okay, yeah. My final pick, Dave, is a little bit of a dilemma whether I pick him now or not, because I expected his price to be bigger than what it is. But I really fancy Rory Sabatini this week. He would have been my headline if he'd have been. Mark has ducked him a little bit at 50s. He's quite a bit below the market price there. I have to say so. And I didn't realise that until about 2 minutes before I came in here. 50-1 anyway. Because I fancy him so much, I'm going to put him up as a pick. But there you go. I really could have done with a bit more meat on the bone.
Yeah,
Rory was second here in 2009. Hasn't been amazing this calendar year, but did finish ninth at Heritage, where very interestingly he was top 20 for greens in regulation, and really interestingly fifth for strokes gained putting, because that is again a little bit of a weakness of his, you know. So he's top 10 for proximity to the hole this year. Last year he was top 10 for proximity to the hole and top 25 for greens in regulation. So I'm hoping he's back to that kind of form, because if he is, he's a really good fit for this event. And that top 10 at Heritage really could have primed him very nicely. So You need to score a bit here as well. You know, so you need to 20 unders going to win this near enough, isn't it? So,
which is a little bit of a negative for a number of our selections because you've got to put well.
Definitely. That's my concern. I said that earlier, but Rory was fourth for par breakers last year on tour. He's got 6 tour wins to his name. Yeah, I really like his chances. I can't say I like his price as much as I would have. Done if it was a little bit bigger, but I couldn't leave him out. I'll lower my stake though to 0.5 each way on him.
50-1, Rory Sabatini. And my final selection, more of an instinct pick, a field pick rather than anything else, because you look through this guy's stats and you'd think he might not contend here. But Daniel Summerhayes is my final selection, 0.5 each way, 80-1. He does everything pretty well, and he's elevated his game in the last couple of years. Still yet to win on tour. Got a superb swing, this guy, and I was very impressed with his second place finish in Texas in late March. He was tied 12th at the Honda 5 starts ago as well. He isn't ultra consistent, but whenever I see him play, I'm impressed, and I thought 80-1 was a decent price on Daniel Summerhayes, so I'll go 0.5 each way on Summerhayes at that price.
Yeah, I can see that one, Dave. I thought you might pick Luke Guthrie this week, by the way.
Yeah, I went for him last year at 100-1.
Did you?
And he's the same price.
Top 10, wasn't he?
This year, finished 8th last year here. I just don't know if he's in the right sort of form.
Yeah, I don't think he was in fantastic form this time last year, funnily enough, before this event, was he? I can't remember, but...
He'd done a little bit better.
Had he?
Yeah, he had done a little bit better.
He was someone that even crossed my mind. Kevin Chappell was someone who I'm very close to picking, although he's not putting that well either. Lucas Glover's showing signs of coming back to form.
He definitely is, and he likes this. He likes this golf course.
He really likes it here, so he's a decent outsider, I have to say. And Freddie Jacobson caught my eye, but he's a bit short.
I thought there were a few people at the top of the betting that you could have gone for, but they were all too short.
Yes.
Ricky Fowler, who I picked here as well last year. Fowler and Guthrie were the two that I picked, but he's 14-1 in this field.
Not having that.
Which is very,
very
short.
He can obviously win, but yeah. He's not a prolific winner yet, is he, Fowler? And that is a prolific winner's price, isn't it, really?
Graham DeLatte too short at 22-1, but he's a greens in regulation machine, isn't he?
This place should suit him, shouldn't it, really? So, he could. I mean, he was fourth here the year before last, so I wouldn't rule... I'd actually probably like DeLatte more than I like Fowler, actually, but... Yeah, Fowler just seemed a bit short there to me. I don't know. Only one toe into his name still, Dave, hasn't he?
Keegan Bradley's only 18-1.
Yeah.
We talk about Bradley every time he plays.
Justin Rose, must go well this week.
Yeah, I'd rather have Justin Rose than Ricky Fowler at 2 points difference. Yeah,
no question. I'd be well with you on that one. I expect Rose to be in the top 10.
A couple more that were definitely interesting that I thought you might have gone for if they'd been bigger prices, these two. I'm pretty sure these two will have been on your list. Ryan Palmer,
yes,
a player that
list.
You really like. He's 25-1. And JB Holmes, 40-1 here with Hills. It's just a little bit short, isn't it, on JB Holmes?
I think JB is playing ever so well, given that the courses that he's been playing recently aren't really geared up to suit him, and this one isn't particularly either. I noticed he finished 13th here in 2012. He's in really solid form coming back from all that surgery that he had, including brain surgery. I really like JB Holmes. I've very much got my eye on him for a course that will suit him better. He's playing well on courses that aren't bombers courses.
No.
So when he gets anywhere near somewhere where you need to give it a good old wallop.
He's a scorer, though, isn't he, JB Holmes? You know, when scoring's low, he can...
He's just a good player.
Yeah, he is.
He's very underrated. And it's great to see him bouncing back. Yeah, he was on my mind here, but I think he's just... You've absolutely summed it up by saying that both those guys are a little bit short in the market, Palmer particularly.
Our compiler, Mark Adsed, says, this must be the worst field on the PGA Tour this year! ! You can make a case for a number of the front runners, but one player at a big price on the keep list is Andrew Loop. I had noticed his best efforts come on more wide open scoring courses like this. He did well last week on a course that didn't suit him, and he's a Louisiana native as well. Andrew Loop, 66-1. If he's in contention, he takes ages to hit the golf ball.
Yeah, but he's kept Rory Sabatini. Never mind, Andrew Loop.
Yeah.
Give us a bit more than 50-1, you tight man, Mark Adsed.
Yeah, he's kept a couple with JB Holmes in the betting there at 40s as well. Who's the player you don't want to win this week then, Mike?
Let me have a look. David Toms. I mentioned David Toms. He's from around here and is a past winner, but he's putting dreadfully. Everything else in his game's pretty good, but he's another one that you could pick. Yeah, David Toms. I should have mentioned him earlier.
I'd have to say the guy that I don't want to... It's tough this week. The guy towards the head of the betting that probably came closest with Delap, but I'd never pick him because 22 to 1's too short. I've not really got one this week. I'd be upset if he won.
Yeah, Tom's is about the only one just because I do like him and he's going to come in somewhere sometime, I'm sure.
Have we got a free lunch bet this week?
No, I would have to say mine are all pretty volatile picks, so they could all bomb out. They're all decent.
I wanted to take...
Knox, yeah, I'll give you Knox against anyone you want to pick then.
Okay, I will take Stadler against Knox.
Stadler against Knox, that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's
Knox,
fair bet.
Knox is blinking consistent, which worries me.
Yeah, well, you normally like to
Stadler
pick my most
well,
volatile
though.
Picks against you.
Yeah, I do. I wanted one against Watney, in all honesty.
Well, I would understand that, Dave, because he's just become a father and he could go either way. But I just think he's better than most of the... At his best, he's top five in this field, isn't he? And he's 50-1. He hasn't been playing great and... I'm just hoping he's been inspired by becoming a dad, and he certainly likes this course.
Let's have a recap then, Mike. First of all, no picking China for you, but might have a little look in play.
On Twitter, at M. Grenham, and you're always tweeting bets on at D. Kell, and there aren't you? Yeah, every decade. But I will, if there's anything in running, I'll definitely tweet if I fancy anything. So it's just deserved it for me. In China, you're
one pick. Yeah, just one pick in China. Point each way, Andy Sullivan at 66-1. And I've got three picks in the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. 1.5 points each way, Kevin Stadler at 40-1. A point each way, Will McKenzie at 50-1. And a point each way, Daniel Summerhayes at 80-1.
Yeah, I've got three picks as well, Dave. Point each way, Nick Watney at 50s. Russell Knox the same at 33s. And a lowered stake on Rory Sabatini at 50-1. Boo, Mark Adshead.
A 0.5 each way on Rory Sabatini. Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at D. Kellner and at M. Grenham. We will be tweeting from those accounts. Whether or not it's bets or not, it remains to be seen. Mike, have we got a seniors event this week?
No, I don't think we have, Dave.
No. It's a shame, isn't it? Because we've not mentioned Miguel Angel Jimenez winning on his senior debut last week.
Yeah, he played ever so well, started brilliantly, and then they just couldn't catch him, could they? So he's going to be a real force to be reckoned with on the old boys tour, isn't he? I didn't fancy him that much last week, I have to be honest. I thought his price was short enough.
Well, it does seem to... You have weeks like that on the Champions Tour where the favourites dominate, and the 3 5-1 co-favourites finished first, second and third, didn't they last week?
Absolutely, yeah. Langer I fancied probably a little bit more than him, and he finished placed as he always does. But no, there's no event till I think it's the Woodlands event in early May on the Champions Tour. But there's some really good players on that tour, Dave. It's a great betting medium.
It is.
Can usually watch on streams as well, the place, so it's good.
Do remember to check out Golf Twitter Tipster as well, www.golftwittertipster.co.uk. Keep you on the leaderboard there, and you can follow the chaps on at Golf Twit Tipster as well. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Golf Podcast, and myself and Mike will be back next week. Good luck with your bets. Remember, your bets must be on early Thursday morning in China, and you've got until Thursday afternoon for the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. It's been a pleasure, folks, and we'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.